Well, a good morning to you and greetings in the name of Jesus. It is a joy to be here again today, and we will be looking today more at the marriage relationship. Yesterday we looked more at the family and how we interact in the family as parents with our children. Today we're going to be focusing more on the marriage relationship. And this first session this morning, we're going to be looking at fulfilling our vows. And my question to you is, what vows did you make? Those of you who are married here, I would like for you to think about what vow you made to your spouse when you were married. I'm going to give you just a moment to actually think about that and try to recall, what did you say you would do on the day of your wedding? Now, another question for you. I will open it in just a moment to hear what responses you have, what you remember, or maybe you just don't remember. It's been long enough ago for some of you. I do note that the actual wording of vows does vary with culture, with particular countries perhaps. But we make vows on the day of our wedding, typically. And now another question I have for you is, why do we vow? Why do we promise? Why do we make promises to each other? Welcome to turn in your Bibles to Song of Songs, Solomon's Song, Songs of Solomon. Not certain how your Bible lists the songs. These are love poems, and the lover and his beloved are speaking to each other throughout these songs. I'm going to be looking at the eighth song, song eight, the last one, chapter eight. But now let's come to the questions. What did you promise? Anyone want to volunteer? What do you remember? What did you promise?
I will.
I will. What?
A whole list of things.
A whole list. Okay, that list is what I'm after.
Cherish.
Cherish.
Provide.
Protect. Provide.
Love.
Love.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold from this day forth. For better, for worse, richer or poor, in sickness and in health,
forever.
Ah!
To forsake all others.
Did you have another one?
For as long as we both shall live.
Yes. I'm going to give you the vows that I made on the day of our wedding. These are the vows that we took. Barbara's was similar, just was altered to reflect her her role in the marriage. This was what I was asked. Will you, in the presence of God and these witnesses, take Barbara to be your wedded wife? Will you love and cherish her, provide and care for her in health and in sickness, in prosperity and in adversity, exercise patience, kindness, and forbearance toward her, live with her in peace as becomes a faithful Christian husband, and forsaking all others, keep yourself only unto her as long as you both shall live? And I said, I hopes to. No, I said, I will. I promised. Typically, the wording can vary a bit, but typically there are several. There are three things that are often captured in the vows. Typically, we vow to love. We promise to love each other. And on that day, it's usually not difficult to assume we can keep that promise, because the day is such a special day, and this person is the most wonderful person we have ever met, and so we promise to love. It is typically also a promise to be faithful. Somewhere in there, there is this promise, there will be no others, exclusive of all others. We give ourselves to each other. And a third thing that's typically involved in the promises is that it will be for as long as we live, for life, no matter what comes. Now, again, the particulars of how that is worded will vary a bit, but that's typically somehow included. These ideas are included. Now, my question was, why? Why do we promise? Any ideas? Why do we promise this? Because we are, it's designed as a covenant, okay? Good. Okay, to provide a safe place where children can come into a relationship that will continue, that will endure. Okay? Making a proclamation. Again, cultures will vary, and we don't always know exactly all that was included in the biblical weddings. Perhaps varied at different times in biblical history. And yet there was an event. There was a public declaration, proclamation. From this point onward, these two have a relationship that is different from what it was before. And there is this call to faithfulness in it. Yes? To be accountable before witnesses. We are doing this in the presence of others so that others would hold us actually accountable. And before God. Why? Why do we vow? I'm going to suggest that actually the promises reflect something that is essential to love itself. In more recent years in the West, in Western cultures, there has been a huge attempt to think about love, or at least relationships between men and women, without commitment. That we can be together and somehow we don't need to have commitment in this. There have even been attempts to change the normal promises from we love each other and we commit ourselves to each other for life to more of a contract. We'll do this for a couple of years, a couple of year contract. But, you know, it just doesn't get much momentum. And my belief is that it's because embedded, essential, intrinsic to love itself is this sense that love calls for commitment. It calls for something that is exclusive of others, that is embedded in promises. The promises actually simply verbalize, in other words, something that is intrinsic to love itself. Now, if we look at Solomon's Songs, and I want to look at chapter 8, and I want you to notice, this is the, as clearly as I can tell, this is the wife speaking. In the English language, we miss the gender in the pronouns here, but in the Hebrew language, the pronouns are there, helping us understand who is speaking. And she says in verse 6, "Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is strong as death, Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Its flames are flames of fire, most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. There is something in love itself which calls for commitment, which calls for it requires a narrowing of the focus toward one exclusive of all others. She says, set me as a seal. We don't use seals so much in our day, but what is a seal? What's she referring to? Okay, we can see when a document is, the seal is broken. A seal is a stamp. In those days, it was a wax stamp, but it was stamped, and the stamp indicates ownership. It indicates a possession, and only the person with the right to that document or whatever has the freedom to open that seal, to break the seal. She says, I want to be the seal, the stamp on your heart, declaring that your heart belongs to me and I have exclusive rights to that. No one else may break that. Only I can enter your heart and can be there in your heart. She's asking for this because love is strong as death. It is in the nature of love to be committed. My belief is that although people may try to have relationship without love, we're working against, it's like trying to live without observing the law of gravity. It won't work. It's not in love to be that way. And so I'd like to explore with you a bit for the husband and for the wife. I'm not going to be looking specifically at the wording that I gave. Wording that you gave is fine as well. The idea is simply that we commit ourselves to love, we commit ourselves to faithfulness typically, and we commit ourselves to this for life. And so I'd like to think with you what this means. For the husband, love, first one, I have committed myself to love Barbara. What does that love mean? What does it mean that I have committed myself? I've promised that to her. Love means, I'm going to list a number of things that I think are a part of that love. Some of these will be, you might say, all I'm attempting to do is to come at that beautiful, that large, word which encompasses so much in our hearts and in our lives, and just break it down and help us to think about it in different ways. It means saying, I love you. Love is in the heart, and love is known by its expression. You can have it inside of you, and most of us know what it is like to have the beginnings of this love stirring in us without the possibility of expression. We don't have an understanding yet. Typically, many of us were attracted before there was the permissions to express this love. But love is known by its expression. Now, time of courting. Now, again, we're coming at this from different cultures. I don't know what your background is, and some of you may have come into marriage in cultures where the more Western way of courtship, of dating, is actually considered a poor way of getting companion. I know that there are some Christian cultures that feel that's inappropriate. In our culture, that's what we did. I don't know if it was appropriate or not. It was an enjoyable time of our interaction. And at the same time, I recognize that there are dangers in that approach. Nonetheless, in that time, in that early time as love is developing, it typically is not difficult to say, I love you. What often happens is that as time progresses, we stop saying it. or we stop being creative in the ways that we express our love. And so we need to learn that it's important to continue to express. We are creatures of time. And what we said yesterday is no longer current. Today, we have a new day. And it's important for us to be regular and continued in our expressions, saying, I love you, saying it with our words, but also saying it through actions and in other creative ways. Love means saying, I love you. Love means lifelong courting. Again, if your background is that you don't actually court prior to marriage, I'm just rather curious here. I don't know who I'm talking to or what your background. How many of you had a time of courtship ahead of your wedding? Just let me see your hands. Okay, and those of you who did not have much courtship ahead of your wedding, but okay, some of you who didn't. Okay, most of you did. Now, in that time of courtship, you typically, men, I'm talking to you right now, okay, how do you act in that time? Typically, men we know how to be romantic. You know, we can walk slow. We can look at the moon. We can do all sorts of silly things. We are very careful with carrying things for her so that she doesn't have to carry too many things. We get to a doorway and we open the door for her so that she doesn't have to open the door. We are courting her. We're expressing our affection and romantic attractions by those kindnesses. And you know, men somehow have difficulty remembering to do that in ongoing ways. I'm suggesting that when, you know, what will happen is that we, a wife just really enjoys being courted, by the way. Ladies just love it. They soak all that in. It makes them feel so special. And when we do that for a number of weeks and a number of months, maybe a year, we're doing that. We're acting this wonderful way. And then we say, "Will you marry me?" They think, "Wonderful! I'd like a lifetime of this." And so we get, and so they say, "Yes," and we get married. And suddenly we forget that there even is a moon. We walk at our pace. Love is to be lifelong. We promise to love. Now, I don't know how, I'm not telling you men exactly how you need to romance your wife. But it's right for love to include that in ongoing ways in our marriage, that our wives, we continually make them feel special by the way we treat them. We're careful with them. Let me think here. If I can illustrate this real quickly, we have some young guys here. If we have a 10 or 12-year-old boy, any 10 or 12-year-olds here? Okay. You have parks in Ireland. How does a 10-year-old boy go through a park when he gets to parks where there are trails and so on? You have parks like that in Ireland? They get to trails. How do these boys go through the parks when they get to them? They get to the trails and they don't stay on the trails typically, right? They run here and there and they just explore and enjoy this, and it's a great time. They get to a creek, stream, and if there's a bridge, they don't take the bridge. They get across another way. They explore. They have so much fun. They get back after the end of the day, and they might have poison. Do you have poison in Ireland?
No.
Oh, we should move to Ireland. Nettles. Okay. We have poison, and it's itchy, and it gets red, and whatever. Okay. 10-year-olds. 12 years later, somewhere along the way, he comes to the same park and he has a young lady with him. Is he going to go through the park the same way as he did when he was 10? Does he say to her, "Come on, let's go," and go running off the trail? When he gets to the stream, he says, "Let's not take the bridge." Does he do that? Absolutely not. He is thinking of setting the pace according to her ability. He's very careful. He watches for the nettles or the poison or whatever, and he's protective there. Love is ongoing courtship, ongoing romance. 10 years later, okay, now they're married. They don't even go to the park, okay? lifelong courting. Love means protecting her. Watching for the things that are dangerous. Being protective. Watching that she doesn't encounter things. It's not just physical protection. It's emotional protection. Watching for overload. Watching for things that are too difficult for her. Love of a strong leader like Jesus is a lover who is protective. He's continually watching for danger areas and wanting to protect his wife. He also is a provider. He works. He works hard. He cares about his family. He is providing for her. By the way, just as the protection is more than physical, so the provision is more than physical. It's more than material. He provides for her spiritually. He is concerned about her getting the right kind of input in her life. Provision for her. He also looks for ways to express to her that she is beautiful. Now, I will just be honest with you here this morning. Men, I want to tell you something. Ladies are a little different than we are, okay, in some ways. Now, I'll talk more about differences in the last talk. We won't go into it a lot here, but we are different. God made us male and female. There are differences. I also want to be careful that we don't stereotype and overdo the idea of differences. But the reality is that one of the things about a woman, it is embedded in a woman to want to be beautiful. And we realize that can actually be taken to wrong ways. A woman can flaunt her beauty in ways that are inappropriate. But it's in a woman. I did not understand this for many years in our marriage. And I'll just tell you honestly how it was for us. I understood that a good compliment is to watch for something that a person does that they're responsible for. If they're not responsible for it, it's more like flattery. That's how I thought. And I would tell my wife, express to her gratitude for things and compliment her on things that she did well. But it was years into our marriage, and one day my wife had the courage to tell me. She said, "John," and she said it with tears, "I don't know if I'm beautiful to you." And it was the first that I started even realizing what is in the heart of a woman. And the reality is that every woman wants to be beautiful, and most women doubt their beauty. That's a reality. And one of the ways that we love our wives is to find the beauty in them and tell them. Tell them how they are beautiful. Women can be beautiful in different ways. There is their physical beauty, but there's also the beauty of their spirit. My call to you as men today is to ask yourself, how is my wife beautiful? And tell her. Let her know how she is beautiful. Put it into words for her. You are speaking to something deep in her being when you say that to her, telling her how she is beautiful. Now, just a caution here, men, don't lie. Okay? Women are very sensitive to being told things that are not true. Okay, I don't know in your culture what it is. In American culture, the issue of weight is a huge issue for ladies. Okay, it's overdone. That's a reality. It's way overdone in our culture, but women fear being overweight. Okay, and so if your wife fears being overweight and is more has more than she wishes to have, don't tell her she's so slender. Okay, that will not necessarily be appreciated. In fact, you might have to sleep somewhere else for the night. No, anyway, be honest, but find it. The reality is that there is beauty in women, and you need to find that and express that to them. Be patient with her mistakes and her weaknesses. It's one of the ways that you demonstrate your love for her. Ladies make mistakes, okay? Ladies, just hold on here a little bit, okay? Men do too, but ladies make mistakes. They do weird things sometimes. My wife came to me some years ago. I was in my study, and she said, "John, please come down here." I was backing out of our garage, and the door was not up. Now, how in the world do you do that? Actually, it was halfway up. So I went down, and I had to disassemble the door and straighten it and put it back together, and it worked. And the only reason I can tell you this story is because several weeks later, her husband did the same thing. I was so grateful I had been kind to her in that. Be patient with her mistakes. And be careful in the ways that you talk about them, okay? I can tell you that story because I did the same thing. But it's easy for men to make their wives feel small or little a bit when they make mistakes. Love means being patient with them, considerate. Love means going before. God calls us as men to lead the way. This does not mean that we have freedom to dominate, but we are called to lead. We have a responsibility. It's given to us in the Scripture. It's a responsibility. It is not primarily privilege. It is primarily responsibility. We bear the weight of the direction. We bear the weight. It doesn't mean that we don't consult. In fact, God gave us our wives to enable our leading to be wise. And so it should be with mutual consideration and consultation and talking about things. But it lies with us to go before, to lead the way. And we do that best when we do it with consideration. When we are, like the 22-year-old that I was telling you a bit earlier, when we are charting the course, when we're setting the pace according to, with consideration for her ability to follow. With consideration. The best leaders are the leaders who understand those who are following and who lead accordingly. How would it be in your walk with the Lord if Jesus led you according to His strength? You understand? The best leaders are the leaders who know those who are following and lead accordingly. They lead with consideration. Husbands, God calls you to love your wife and to lead her with consideration. Let's look at faithfulness. We said that embedded in our promises to each other is this vow to love each other, the promise to love. It is also a promise to be faithful. To a husband, faithfulness means channeling all romantic affection toward her. This is an exclusive relationship. Romantic affections are for this relationship. They are not to be shared outside of this relationship. Certainly, there is an appropriate kind of friendship, cross-gender, friendship and interaction. But romantic affection is for the marriage relationship. And the way that we demonstrate our faithfulness is to channel that toward. And so one of the things you have to be careful about, men, is when you have ongoing relationship with other ladies by virtue of work, by virtue of occupation and maybe proximity, you live maybe as neighbors or whatever, you be careful, you be discreet in the way in which you interact. It doesn't mean that we cannot interact with ladies. We cannot even, I think it's right for us to have friendships, cross-gender friendships after we're married. But being careful, discreet, and keeping that interaction so that there is not romantic affection coming into that interaction. Now, I'm just going to tell you, men, that today there is a lot of emphasis, a lot more emphasis today than there used to be on us sharing what is in our hearts with others. I don't know quite where it is in Europe right now, where it is in Ireland. In the United States, this is you walk around much more like this, with your heart exposed. And somebody told me when I was in Belgium, I think, that you meet an American and 10 minutes you know all about them. You know where they live and you know their family history and you know the struggles that they have and so on. Americans tend to be more open that way. But I'm saying that one of the ways that people fall into the trap of sharing romantic affection is when there is too much heart sharing across gender. It's appropriate for us as men, sometimes we need to talk to fellow brothers. We need to share things that are in our hearts, and that is good. It is good for us to open our hearts. It is necessary for us to open our hearts to our wives, but it is dangerous for us to open our hearts to those of opposite gender, and the other way around. Ladies, more by nature, tend to talk about things in their heart. Okay? That's okay, but be careful about doing that cross-gender. There are times when it may be appropriate if there are times when a lady with her husband has talked to my wife and I about a particular struggle she is facing, and if it's to get help in a particular situation, that's one thing. But to have an ongoing relationship of opening the heart is something that will easily lead toward affections that you don't know what to do with. Guarding that. Faithfulness means channeling the romantic affection toward her. Husbands, faithfulness means refusing to respond to advances from other ladies. Again, we live in cultures that are much more open here, and ladies are in our culture will sometimes flaunt themselves. They will flirt. And men, faithfulness means that we don't respond to those flirtations. We don't respond to those advances. Continuing to love her. Faithfulness means that love goes on and on. Continue to love her when she is... And men, I don't know how you would fill that in. But when she is that way, it might be... When they're being the lady thing, whatever that is, okay, and we don't understand them. You know, men struggle with understanding ladies. Ladies struggle with understanding men sometimes. It's almost like we speak different languages, it seems like. There are times when it seems that way. I heard about a man who, this is a story that a friend of mine told me. It's not a true story, but a man in Dublin, Ireland, was visited by an angel. And the angel said to him, "I will give you one wish. What would you like?" And he didn't have time to think, and he just said, build me a bridge from Dublin to Madrid. And the angel said, "Now, come on, be reasonable. What would you really like? Something that, you know." And he had a little time to think, and he said, "Well, if you could help me understand ladies." And the angel said, "Do you want that bridge 2-lane or 4-lane? We don't always understand them. We sometimes have no clue what is going on or why they act the way they do. Faithfulness is continuing to love even when we don't understand. We'll talk more about some of those differences again in a later talk. Maintaining vibrant commitment to God. It's another way that we demonstrate faithfulness. Ladies, or men, listen carefully. One of the ways in which you enable your wife to love you and trust you is to have a heart that is devoted to God. I have talked to ladies. I remember my wife sharing this with me. Maybe it was she that was hearing it from a lady in the area where we were at that time. And this lady with tears said, I have no clue. Her husband was church going. He regularly attended church. He was faithful to her. But she said, I don't know if my husband ever prays. I never see him praying. I don't know if he ever reads his Bible. I never see him. And there was anguish in her heart. Husbands, one of the things that we can do for our wives is to be faithful to the Lord. In Malachi, I was going to read this scripture this morning. I'm running behind time here, so I'm going to just capture it. Malachi 2, God says, I hate putting away. I hate divorce. Take heed to your spirit that you don't have a treacherous spirit against the wife of your covenant. Malachi 2, why does God hate divorce? Why does he hate putting away? In Malachi's day, there were people who had become disenchanted a bit with the idea of the kingdom coming back because it was not happening. They had restored the temple, they restored worship, but the kingdom had not come in. And so they had gone into various things, prosperity and so on. And one of the things that they were doing is they were putting away wives and getting other wives, divorcing and remarrying and so on. And God says through the prophet Malachi, I hate putting away. Why? You know why? Because God knows that people who break covenant with each other will break covenant with him also. God wants faithfulness is something that is in our hearts. It is a way of being. And one of the ways that we cultivate faithfulness toward our wives is by maintaining faithfulness to our God. Two traps for you as men. Mental adultery is one, and emotional divorce is another trap. And simply what I'm saying here, men, is that you may be faithful to your wife in your actions, but if in your mind you are interacting inappropriately with other ladies, Jesus says this is adultery. If you look on a woman to lust after her, you have committed adultery with her in your heart. Emotional divorce is not actually putting a wife away, but putting her out of my heart, shutting her out, not letting her into my heart, and giving my best emotional energy to something other than my marriage. There are men who actually demonstrate more commitment, more ongoing commitment and faithfulness to their work than they do to their marriage. And a wife feels that. She wants his heart to be set upon her. Let's look at what love means for the wife. Love is embedded in the vows. Faithfulness is embedded. For the wife, love means supporting. Ladies love their wives when they support their husband. That means to channel their strength. When God made women, in Genesis 1 and 2, you have the account there. In Genesis 2, when God says, it is not good for the man to be alone, I will make, what does he say I will make? A help. Suitable for her. Just exactly designed for, I'll make a help. That's what God made you to be, ladies. You are to channel who you are, your abilities, your energies, your resources into enabling your husband. I am not saying by this that the husband is free to pursue anything he wants and the lady must just be a yes person and say, that's fine, great, do it. Okay? Not automatically, but I'm saying that God's intention is that this union be a union where the husband is leading in love and she is supporting him. She is putting her energies into him. There is something embedded in the design of the lady that finds fulfillment in her husband becoming and leading. Love means supporting. I should say here that this supporting is not just in a tangible, material way. In fact, I tell my wife that the primary way in which she supports me is with her spirit. Ladies, I will tell you, I don't think ladies typically understand the power of their spirit and how significant that spirit is in the way the husband can function. The spirit of his wife can either make him feel like a million euros or like he'd just as soon he better go out back somewhere and not meet anybody, okay? Feel like a failure. Feel like it's her spirit. A woman's spirit is so powerful in the life of her husband. So the supporting is not, it is not simply in doing things. It has to do with the way her spirit is in relation to her husband. One of the ways that she can love her husband is to tell him how she admires him. Ladies, now I want to talk to you. Okay? There's something about men you need to understand. Men are wired to measure themselves by how much they accomplish. Okay? What we can do. And men are always kind of looking over their shoulder to see who is noticing how much they get done. Okay? They when men get together, they talk about what they do typically. They talk about how much they can get done. They talk even about how fast they drove from Dublin to Dunmore East. When they take a trip, they think of it in terms of an accomplishment. Okay? That's why stops are so difficult for men, because they're calculating how this is going to affect their accomplishment. Okay? And if it takes them 4 hours to get from Dublin to Dunmore East, they will not tell anybody. Because it's not a manly thing to do it that slowly. Are you men that way in Ireland? Is that how you're wired also? Okay. Ladies, what I'm saying here is that men are drawn toward the people who admire them. That's how we're wired. And so at the closing verse of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, he says that the women are to respect their husbands, admire them, show honor to them. It's because men, that's how we function. Men, they function on being loved. And they need to know that they are loved. That's why we need to continually be expressing that. Ladies, you need to understand that men function on admiration, and if you don't admire them, they will gravitate toward. If they're admired at work and criticized at home, where are their attentions going to naturally want to gravitate? You understand what I'm saying? And it's in a man to want to be looked up to. Love means expressing encouragement. Encouragement, enabling by your words, enabling your husband to face the day. Confidence. Again, you want to be careful that this is honest. You don't just gush confidence about something that you know he's not good at. You know, if he has made a mess of whatever he's trying to do and you tell him, hey, you're great at this, that's not necessarily going to... But find the ways that he does good and let him know. Admire him. It's not only what you say to him, it's also what you say about him. That really, if you tell a man, if a man hears his wife telling somebody else, you know what he did for me this week? He's liable to ask you for something that he can do the next week, okay? Because it brings out his manhood. It's like she admires that. Expressing that is so important. Assuring him of his love when he is... Ladies, I don't know how you would fill that in. Okay, how do men act when they're difficult to love? You can fill it in. So when he is that way, when he's doing that man thing, love is assuring him of his love, of your love for him. Faithfulness then means channeling her feminine charm, her affection into him alone. Again, ladies, the way you conduct yourselves in the presence of men, it's significant. It's and you need to reserve. You do have beauty. Men are drawn toward your beauty. That's just the reality of how men and women function. And you need to channel your feminine charm into him. It's not wrong to be beautiful, ladies. It's not wrong to be beautiful. All I'm saying is be careful. You don't flaunt that, and be careful that you channel your charm into him, your affection into him and him alone. And likewise, for the wife, faithfulness means this, setting your heart on God, loving him. I just want to say this, folks. A number of years ago, my wife attended a seminar that was on reviving our hearts. It was four ladies reviving their hearts in seeking God, just a revival of love for him, devotion to him. And my wife came back from that seminar and just began to seek God in fresh ways. And I'm just saying, folks, it was one of the most beautiful things that I was able to observe in her life. Her love for him, I love it when I see her delighting in the Lord. Her expression of that, her love for the Lord, there's something about, because I know that faithfulness to God means that she'll also be faithful to me. Two traps for ladies. We talked about two traps for men, two traps for ladies. Criticism is one, and control is another. Ladies, your words are powerful with your husband. It is so easy when you look at a... don't know if I have this here. Try to do this quickly. What do you see? Anyone? You see a blot, a dark spot. Did anybody see the white paper? It's so easy for our attention to be drawn toward the one thing that is wrong. And your husband, he might be working out there doing something really whatever, and you come out and you notice it, and you look at it, but you see that he made a mess over here in this one little part. By all means, talk about what he did well rather than saying, but what about this? It's a mess over here. Do you hear what I'm saying? Men are, I wish I could say this properly, but ladies, men are really kind of fragile. They have a fragile ego. I don't understand why we are this. In fact, I've told my wife, I wish I weren't so wimpy. You know, but her words, if she points out a little thing that is wrong, I think about, oh, can't you think about all the stuff that I've really, you know, tried to do that is right? Criticism takes away from the relationship. Control is another then. Control is that desire to... And ladies, I think you have a special calling for you to give your life in support to your husband, to submit to him, to honor his leadership is a high calling. But one of your tendencies is to be afraid. You're afraid that he's going to do it wrong. He's going to head out this way, and then I'm supposed to just kind of follow along, and the children are supposed to... What do we do here? And I want to clarify again, leadership does not mean dictatorship. It doesn't mean that we as men can make all the decisions. And yet we bear the responsibility for the direction of the home. We bear that responsibility. Sometimes wives, in their fearfulness, begin to control. They manipulate, they push, they try to get their husband to go in certain ways by making him uncomfortable with any other way but their choice. And I'm just saying control is detrimental. It's not God's design. Both husbands and wives can abuse their position, their strengths. When we fulfill our vows to each other, it is for life. We have the comfort of being understood. We have the joy of being best friends. And if we aren't experiencing that, I'm encouraging you that the way, typically what we look at, if you're here and your relationship is not what we've been describing here, it's easy for us to see the ways in which our spouse is contributing to that and say, you know, if she would just do what John said. If she would just whatever, we'd have a great relationship. And she's thinking, if he would just, we'd have a wonderful relationship. It's easy for us to think about how the other one is feeling. And I just encourage you, if you want your marriage to be better, here's the way to do it. The primary way is not to work on your companion. In fact, to turn away from that and say, as husbands, how can I fulfill the promises I made? Wives, asking yourself, how can I fulfill those promises I made to love, to be faithful till death? These are promises we make. We make them in spite of adversity, in spite of anything that would come up to hinder that. A number of years ago, I read the story of Robertson McQuilkin, who was president of Columbia Bible Institute, Columbia Bible University, I think, in South Carolina, in the States. It's a Christian college. And his wife developed dementia and Alzheimer's disease then, and got to the place where she needed care. And her husband, being president of the Bible University, was faced with a decision. What does he do? How does he provide for his wife? And he decided to resign from his position to care for his wife. He was at an age and a level of experience in which it seemed he was just the best person suited to lead the college. And a lot of people wondered, how in the world? Why would you do that? She is having with Alzheimer's, she's not going to recognize you anymore. Why don't you provide care, get somebody else to provide care for her? And his response was something like this. He said, this was one of the easiest decisions I have ever made. He said, I promised over 40 years ago to love her for life. And I'll stay true to that. He wrote his story, A Promise Kept. If you read the story, you'll be inspired by his example of faithfulness. We love each other. We keep these promises through life as long as we both live. Will you stand? Father, we thank you today for your goodness to us. Lord, talk about marriage and we talk about commitments, and I know, Lord, that we come at this from different experiences, and I pray for husbands and wives today that you would bless their relationships and enable commitments that have been made. Enable husbands to renew their commitment to love and faithfulness. Enable wives to renew these promises and to keep them for life. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.